The Newer Testament scripture is from Romans 6. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Yes. The word of God for the people of God.
Oh, thanks be to God. Pray with me. So as you, O Lord, are faithful among us this day, open our hearts to the work of your Spirit and the words of your messenger. Let tongue proclaim the blessing that you bring. Let heart commit in obedience to your gift of grace. And by your transformation in us, make us slaves to righteousness and heirs of life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. This past week, Elizabeth and I were busy about many things, and one evening we found ourselves on a journey over to Kenwood Mall. We knew we needed to go into the Hallmark store quickly and back out, so we went to the exit that was right across from the Hallmark store near the Red Robin entrance, and we shot right in, got what we needed, and were making our way back out when we met a woman at the door. There were countless people coming in of that exit, but this lady decided to take a cell phone and thrust it into my face and say, "Help me!" Okay. I immediately thought in my head a couple scenarios. Call 911. Most people don't extend their cell phone to you, and this lady is probably having a crisis. There was another moment that flashed into my head that she certainly doesn't know who she's offering that to. Just because I was dressed like a preacher doesn't mean you can trust me. Then there was this moment when, in fact, what she was asking me to do, I really didn't know what she needed me to do. Maybe she was in conflict with someone and needed me to exchange. I had no idea, but I readily responded in obedience to her call, "Help me." And I took her phone and I said, "Hello?" I discovered the scenario was on the other end of the phone was her husband, who was trying to find her at Kenwood Mall to pick her up. He was calling out landmarks like the Cheesecake Factory. "You're on the other side." He said, "I'm right in front of Macy's." Now, if you know Kenwood Mall, Macy's has three sides. So that doesn't help me. I'm standing here going, "Okay, can you see this big, tall building that probably has blue up around the top? If there, you're close." I started calling out landmarks. He says, "Well, wait a minute, the light's changing. I'll tell you what else I see." And sure enough, he starts calling out to me, "I see Dick's Sporting Goods." "No, no, no, you're going the wrong way." While I'm trying to help this poor man navigate to find his wife, which I don't know why he wants to do that, yeah, I can tell some of you have been picking up your wives, so. She was talking about killing him, and I just knew this could not be a pretty picture when they got together. She was talking to Elizabeth, and I didn't know what their conversation was until we got to the car, in which we were in hysterics about this moment. she was telling me that this lady was describing her husband as a veteran of the Navy. And she said, if I was a target in the middle of the ocean, he could hit me with a torpedo. But he can't find me at Kenwood Mall. And he's picked me up here before. Well, I continued to talk to him. I got him around the corner. I told him that he'd be turning near the BP station. Oh, I know where the BP station is. Well, what? Okay. So finally, in as he gets in front of the Kenwood Theater, I said, now you're going to turn right into the mall, and you'll see the big red letters of Red Robin just pull up to that entrance. She thanked us profusely as she was going towards the car, and I really wanted to warn him, just keep driving. But I put her things in the back with her and got her in the front seat. We blessed her, and when Elizabeth and I got in the car, we just howled because she then shared the story of what this lady was talking about, a skill of her husband and all this. And have you ever been invited to be obedient? Sometimes you plan obedience, and other times it's thrust upon you. Sometimes obedience comes by a cell phone, and other times it comes in deep discernments of prayer. Here the Apostle Paul in today's scripture passage begs to us as a Christian believer, be obedient from the heart. For you were once slaves to sin, now we are slaves to righteousness. You and I this morning are being invited to accept the invitation. And we can make a choice. We can either be obedient and responsive, or we could simply quickly wave no thank you and continue past a child in need. Maybe you've done that. This morning, as we examine our hearts around this theme of obedience, Paul begs the Christian believer that when we say yes, there is a significant transformation. It isn't going about things as they normally are. It's being responsive when one calls out to us. Maybe it's the voice of God inviting you to keep his commands, bear his word, share the power of the gospel. The Greek word for obey is hupka, this nature of God's obedience is found in the word obey 194 times in Scripture. I don't think it's really an option of yes or no, even though we make it such. There is this word that can be translated from obey to obedience that is found 34 times. Obedient that is found 15 times. Obeying is found 5 times. Thus, 243 times we hear the cry of Scripture, be obedient from the heart, Paul says. To keep my commands, to keep his commandments. These are found 26 and 28 times respectfully throughout Scripture. We hear in that power of the message an invitation that you and I can't merely walk by or come to church and just casually hear the word of Scripture read and say, that's a good one, Shelley. Good read. Doesn't mean anything to me. Obeying isn't a philosophical argument as to whether or not we're in agreement ethically on a position. Obeying is summarized in that moment in encounter with Jesus when he says, you'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and your strength, and you'll love your, oh mercy, as yourself. It's not an invitation to decide I'll not do it today. It's an invitation to be obedient and respond when we least expect it. When Jesus prayed for us as a community of believers, he called out in the 14th chapter of God, and he's praying to God in the 14th chapter of John. And as he articulates that prayer in verse 15, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In verse 21, he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Verse 23 says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And then in 24, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. The writer in Hebrews in the 5th chapter summarizes it this way, speaking of Jesus learning obedience and his being made perfect through it. The writer says he was obedient and his suffering was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Strong's Concordance literally translates this word obey as submission to what is heard. Our obedience as a response to someone speaking, inviting us. Jesus, time and again throughout the Gospels, doesn't invite us to simply decide, do we choose to be obedient today or not? Will you respond, or will you decide it's somebody else who can respond for me? It's not me. This nature of obedience out of which you and I are called to respond from our hearts today is not just a casual invitation to a campaign or a financial slogan. It's a spiritual stirring that calls us even to the depth of our hearts. My mother used to say to me, are you listening to me? As a child, I'd love to drive her crazy. That's the reason why children are given to parents. I'd say things like, what? Now what? Are you talking to me? All these responses would elevate her blood pressure and her ability to communicate the nature of the gospel she was offering to me in that moment. We drive God crazy when in our response to him we say, what? Are you talking to me? It must be somebody else. You remember the debate that Moses had with God? Oh, you could call anybody else to lead the children out of Egypt, not me. You heard David when he was to take over leadership from Saul. You mean that king who wants to kill me, I'm supposed to? Yes. The call to obedience is throughout Scripture in every character. We see either the response in the affirmative as Paul invites us to be obedient from the heart, or we see the result of what it means to simply say, not me. But it's one thing today to just come and hear the word. It's another thing to answer, I'm listening. Submit to the love that flows from God's heart to our heart. It transforms our lives from merely being a casual encounter with someone we could quickly forget to being an opportunity to transform and unite lives and hearts and to be used as a child of hope. Because we were once children too of sin. not an opportunity to look in judgment or despair at our brother or sister. It's an opportunity to look as God has looked at us and said, "Beloved child, be obedient as I've made you obedient through Jesus Christ our Lord." May it be so.